The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, with me in studio is Ronan McGreevy. Ronan, of course, is an Irish Times journalist, historian, the author of Great Hatred, The Assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson, MP, and Ciarán Murphy, Senior Policy Officer at the ESRI, to talk about Cead Míle Fáilte. So this is an idea that, you know, you hear referenced often in the context of pretty awful stuff recently around the Indian community and those attacks, and the sense that we have always been a welcoming community, a welcoming people in this country to others from abroad. And we would hate to see the abandonment of that principle. Now, is it true, though, Ciarán? Does that stand up to scrutiny? Have we historically been a welcoming people?
Well, I think there's one really interesting dichotomy, like one thing to say first. It's a, you know, there's welcoming towards people who are visiting, and there's welcoming towards residents. And historically, we never really had to answer the question of welcoming towards residents, because for the most part, we were a country of emigration. People left. There was very little inward migration into Ireland historically compared with other countries, even other European countries, but especially, of course, the New World countries. If you look at it now, you can see that Ireland at the moment, so the latest data we have, unfortunately, is from 2024, but that's still kind of, you know, there's been big perceptions of big shifts over the last few years. Ireland is still, by European standards, one of the most positive countries towards immigration overall. And also by historical standards, one of the most positive, at kind of one of the most positive levels.
Okay.
One, you see a really huge dip during the crash and during the recession in attitudes towards immigration and immigrants. So that was kind of an area where attitudes really dipped very, very strongly. So by historical standards at the moment, we're, but that doesn't capture the really extreme. So I think we're, you know, we're talking about this in the context of violent attacks, of arson attacks. And at the end of the day, the surveys that, that all of that research is based on only goes to very negative. It doesn't go to so negative, I'm about to commit a violent act on the foot of these attitudes. So these surveys aren't good at capturing extremes, but for the most part, there seems to be general support. What we know is that some groups are more supportive than others, and some factors influence how supportive you are. So we know that financial difficulties, low levels of education, living in a disadvantaged community, all really impact the feeling that your voice counts in politics, that you have confidence in the future, that your life was better in the past. All of these things impact on your attitude.
So that's an informed and educated and nuanced view, Ronan. I said on there the other day that Cead Míle Fáilte is a wheeze. And that's why I'm not a researcher at the SRI and I'm presenting a radio show. Was I being unfair?
I think so. I was saying to Ciarán before we came on air that if you look historically, we have gone in the space of probably 25 years from about 1995, so 30 years from being an entirely homogenous community to a heterogeneous or to a multi-racial, multi-ethnic community. And we've achieved that, I think, with a remarkable degree of integration and with little in the way of friction compared to, say, for instance, if you look at countries like Britain and France, you had all that sort of, and the Netherlands, you had all that sort of immigration that came right after the Second World War with the people from the old colonies that were there. And there was a huge amount of racial tension in all these countries. I think, you know, obviously we have seen a lot of, as you say, you talked about the attacks on the Indian communities, and, you know, only a fool would deny that there's racism in this country. But I think generally speaking, migration to Ireland has been a success story.
I think my issue, right, with the Cead Míle Fáilte thing, when people trot it out, is that it's a version of exceptionalism. You know, that people present it as evidence of Ireland being exceptionally welcoming. And I just wonder, is it not, like most examples of exceptionalism around the world, they're not actually that exceptional.
No,
most
I don't think so. I don't think we're an especially friendly country, no.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought so.
We're like everyone else, are we, Ciarán?
Yeah, well, I suppose, I think for me, the really important thing is if Irish people are subject to the same social, policy, economic conditions as other people, we'll behave in the same ways that we have, it has been shown that other people behave. So I think when you look at the policies of countries post-World War II, there was lots of really bad policy making there. You know, intentional exclusion of migrant groups because they were seen as temporary, you know, lots of different issues. So a lack of integration supports, a lack of language learning. And then there are the economic issues. So we know that economic issues and social issues and disadvantage matter in these cases. So unless you tackle, you know, I think it's this idea of no one is necessarily welcoming or unwelcoming. It depends on the conditions that they're subject to.
Ronan, the fact that we didn't have that experience of inward migration up until the mid to late 90s, I sound slightly hypocritical here having dismissed the idea of exceptionalism, but it is kind of remarkable then that it has been as smooth as it has been, despite, you know, some examples to the contrary. Given we didn't have a culture of integration.
No, we didn't.
Right up until relatively recently.
No, and this is correct. And it's something that I think we can be fairly proud of as a country. But as Ciara there said, you know, when countries were not prepared in the 40s, in the post-war years, for mass migration from former colonies, etc. And I think we kind of learned from the mistakes as well. And of course, I think by the time mass migration came around to Ireland, casual racism was not as accepted as it had been, say, in the 40s, 50s, 60s in places like Britain, where it was okay to basically to be racist and it was nearly a mainstream thing. So I do think that we were probably, because we're kind of late to the party in terms of immigration, we were better prepared for it.
Mm. The lesson then from this is that there's just it's an aspect of human nature then, Ciara, is it, that, you know, when resources are finite, that, and this is probably, I say human nature, this is kind of a feature of any living organism on the planet, when resources are finite, people will fight each other for those resources.
It's not exactly that. It's actually much more complicated than that, because there's two kind of competing theories and they both actually hold out in empirical studies. So one is this group threat theory, that different groups see each other as a threat, but that depends on certain conditions. So things like finite resources. And I think if we say that resources are finite in Ireland and we don't have enough resources, I think we're being quite disingenuous. The question is, how are resources used? How are they distributed? What are the choices that we make around those resources? And then the other one is contact theory, which actually says that when groups come together in society, when there's positive contact between groups, it actually creates more positive attitudes than before. And there's a bit of both. I want to kind of come back on Ronan's point there, that it's remarkable that it's been as smooth as it has been. I do think it is quite remarkable that Ireland has gone from such an ethnically and culturally homogenous country to a very diverse country so quickly with relatively little issue.
Mm.
But I think we also, first of all, overplay that, because initially, for a long time, the type of migration that we were receiving was very high skilled, very much about labour, and very much from Europe.
Polish builders.
So yeah, even before that, it was kind of more European, and then 2004 turned to Polish builders, and then attitudes did start to change. So there was some evidence that before the crash, attitudes were kind of, people were kind of like, oh, is this, how's this going? And then during the crash, they absolutely, you know, they fell off a cliff along with all other social attitudes, which are all linked, you know, trust in institutions, trust in politics, confidence in the future.
How much of that is born of just, sorry, this slightly off topic, of just there being a sense of anger and frustration with life? And people project that anger. You know, people projected that onto water charges. People projected it onto Golfgate and COVID. People projected it onto all sorts of things. They projected onto foreigners.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that kind of anger, and again, this all holds out. If you feel confident in your future, if you trust that your government, your politicians, your media, that they've kind of got things, you know, that they've got it sorted, you'll be more positive towards immigration because you believe the country can manage it, that your life is fine, your life is getting better. So all of these things are really, really linked to attitudes towards immigration as well, that your voice counts in politics. Like, there was a lot of that at the time, that people felt that they didn't have a role in the decisions anymore. So I think, you know, we do kind of have to be careful when we're talking about very culturally similar and very high skilled migration waves and saying, oh, look, we've done a great job. Because the other countries that you're talking about here, immigration is from culturally quite different countries. Mm. And that's, you know, there are challenges with integrating culturally different, you know, these are huge debates that have been going on for, you know, essentially 100 years in these countries, of kind of how do you create a national identity when nation states are based on kind of this ethnically homogenous idea of a culture and a language.
Yeah.
When that changes.
So is that the real test, Ronan, is when the source of migration is from countries that might have been outside, how would I describe it?
Outside the sort of...
Latin Christendom.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yes, that's...
To use an old-fashioned phrase.
That is the issue. So, as Kira said, you know, every country in Europe is grappling with this this dilemma of how can you be a culturally diverse country and still have an identity as a country. As somebody wants to find a nation state as the same people living in the same place, which I thought is very interesting. But yeah, I think that as Kira says, you know, we're far away from. It's easy for us when the people are white and they're Christian and so on, and you have a different immigration. But I think, generally speaking, I mean, people for instance, from India, the Philippines, China and stuff have integrated very well into Irish society and made a huge difference to us. I mean, it's hard to imagine, for instance, the healthcare system without them now.
Yeah, we're going way off topic. Actually, you know, I'm not even going to bring it up because producer Claire is going to give out to me because we're out of time. But anyway, Rona McGreevy is an Irish Times journalist and historian, the author of Great Hatred, The Assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson, MP, and Kira Murphy is the Senior Policy Officer at the ESRI. 087 1400 106, the number.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.